Ming, yeah, Ming's family. Yeah, so wonderful. Let's give them a hand. Yeah. And also Peter's family from Queensland. Wonderful. Oh, a couple of friends there from, yeah, just, hi, how are you? Deborah's friend or nephew. Oh, wow, welcome. Fantastic. Fantastic. Beautiful. Beautiful. I was wondering, Jonathan and Paula, your parents just gone back. Did you want to say anything? Yeah, why don't you come up quickly? Last week, Elena was baptized in water. It was a beautiful celebration. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would like to thank God because he's been so good to us.
And when we pray more, all of us, for our families, is for salvation. And I think once someone has salvation, you know, we have peace, whatever comes. So we're so thankful because God, and through you, made a huge impact in their lives, and they were able to see the love of God manifested through bodies. As his love was manifested through the body of Jesus, now they saw his love manifested through bodies, many bodies in this church, and they were so touched. They were so touched. So, yes, we prayed and we did many things, but without the love of God through this church, I think we wouldn't have availed much. So my wife and I have spoken about this, and we're so thankful. We're so thankful because what else is better than salvation and our family's salvation? Now on Sunday, they're going to church. They're going to start going to church today in Colombia. And yes, we're very thankful. And you don't know, my father-in-law, he was really, really, really hard in his heart. And you cannot imagine the change he's had in these weeks. So praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. And thank you for translating all the sermons. Just hi to Colombian friends at the back. They got a little camp out there. So, you know, Jonathan's translating. And also the Korean language is now, it's also translated thanks to Miok. So, wonderful. Maybe we can translate into Chinese as well, you know. Looking at a few people. So it's wonderful. To God be the glory. I'll just make two quick announcements. So Mia already mentioned it. Christmas service will be in Cornerstone at 10 o'clock. And the sermon is a little bit unusual. I don't know whether it's unusual. I've never preached this before, but I want to talk about Holy Spirit on Christmas. So Holy Spirit is very much forgotten person. We all talk about three wise men and, you know, I mean, the good people talk about Jesus, obviously, yes. And we talk about Santa Claus and all kinds of things. But Holy Spirit is so missed out. So I trust that message will be uplifting, very uplifting and encouraging. And also will be important message to prepare you for the next year as well. So that will be Wednesday. And then next Sunday is the last Sunday of the year. And we want to give thanks to God. And I want to thank God for all the people who are serving in the church. And there will be a floor open for you, anyone who wants to give thanks to God, to come up and, you know, grab a microphone to just really thank God for, you know, not for, you know, 20 minutes or so, but, you know, why don't you really sit down and start going through, you know, what you want to thank God for. One of the marks of those who are filled with the Holy Spirit are the thankful people. So if you're full of thanks and praise, thanksgiving, even in the time of difficulty and trial, it means that you are in the Holy Spirit. And it's so good to actually remember what God had done. I've got so much to thank God for this year. And I know there are people who pray for me last year with particular sort of prayer points for me. And lo and behold, looking back, God had done amazing things this year according to their prayers for me, which I didn't request. So I just thank God for faithful people and the prayers. So how about that? How many want to think about what you want to thank God for next Sunday? So I want to open up the floor for anyone. Amen. And if you can't speak English, it can be translated as well. So everybody can hear you giving thanks to God. How about that? Amen. All right. That's good. Now let's get into the message. It's going to be a little bit shorter, but the reading will be a little longer than usual. And after that, we are going to break into small groups and discuss. If you find this paper on the seat or at the back, there, that's the note. And also at each section, the red color is actually the questions for you to consider and then answer in your discussion. You will find actually answering them and thinking a little bit more deeply help you to realize, discover truth for yourself as well as apply them into your life. Amen. All right, so Luke chapter 4, we're going through the Gospel of Luke, verse 14 to verse 44. And I'm going to read, I'm going to give you this challenge. If you can read with me the red bits, words of Jesus, that'll be great. Can you do that? All right, I'll slow down the red bits. I'll read from verse 14. All right, Jesus begins his Galilean ministry. Verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3.5 years, 3 years and 6 months, and there was great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, they went his way, or he went his way. Verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out in every place in the surrounding region. Now when he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and served them. Verse 40, when the sun was setting, all those had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now, when it was the day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Amen. Amen. So now we see Jesus now, having been baptized in water, Holy Spirit came on him in bodily form, and he was led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, being tested by Satan, tempted by Satan. Jesus came out victoriously, being filled now with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Galilee became the starting point of Jesus' ministry. And his visits to synagogues, it's a plural, it was more like a preaching tour that he did in Galilean region, because Jesus started out ministering all around. Galilee region is the northern part of Israel. So Jerusalem is the religious center in the south. Jesus doesn't move to Jerusalem. He remains in Galilean region as a main ministry center for most of, it's the first, part of his ministry. So Luke records Jesus' ministry round about from chapter 4 all the way up to chapter 9. So we're going to see Jesus ministering to the northerners, who are, I guess, the 10 tribes of Kingdom of Israel, not the religious center that he moves there later on. But as soon as Jesus begins his ministry, the fame of Jesus spreads out quickly. Why? Because Jesus came out of temptation and testing full of the power of the Spirit of God. So wherever Jesus goes, there is a power manifest, and there is clash of kingdom. Something that happens that allows people, that makes people to take note that there is something different. There is a clash of two invisible kingdoms all around us all the time. And sometimes it's very easy for Christians to forget this fact that we are spiritual beings living in spiritual world. We can be sometimes so concerned and taken up about physical, and even in churches around this country, I guess, in most cases, do not really get in touch with the side of the supernatural. But the kingdom of God, the gospel, and the Christianity has to do with both natural and supernatural. There needs to be the natural growth, you know, the maturity that is so, so important, the fruits of the Spirit, the way we relate to one another in mature way. But also there is a dimension of the Spirit that often is the cause of hindrance for you to move on in the will of God. It causes a lot of blockages, a lot of pain, a lot of sufferings, because the kingdom of darkness has to do with darkness and suffering. And Jesus is the light of the world. When Jesus, having been anointed by the Spirit, began to minister and proclaim the kingdom of God, immediately the hidden truth of the two opposing kingdoms, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of Satan, and kingdom of God, kingdom of light, became evident for all to see. Amen? Amen. So now Jesus begins. It's one of the beginning point. Is he comes back to his hometown, Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. And in Luke chapter 4, you find two spiritual habits that Jesus had. First one is that every Sabbath, that is a Saturday, Jesus used to go to the synagogues for public worship, which is very similar to Christians on Sunday gathering together for public worship. So you can see the pattern. Every Sabbath, Jesus is in synagogue worshiping with the rest, and this becomes his pulpit, where Jesus ministers and demonstrates the kingdom of God. And the second habit that you will find is that it is private prayer life away from the people, away from the ministry, to be with God. So Jesus was both regular in public worship with everybody else, and Jesus also had a balance of being alone with God in private time for fellowship. So that was Jesus. On one particular Sabbath, Jesus comes back to Nazareth, and then attendant handed over to him Isaiah scroll. How many have brought Bible with you today? Yeah? A few. How many have brought Bible today now? Back in those days, you don't have all 66 books. In fact, you know, the New Testament wasn't even written, but it was in a scroll on a back of the animal hide. And then you just are given a huge scroll, and then you either get parts of Isaiah or parts of one of the prophets or the law, because it's so big. Thank God we didn't come with those scrolls. You will be carrying them. It will take many men to carry them, and then I'll have to scroll, unroll it. Jesus unrolled the scroll and found the place where in Isaiah it speaks about this Messiah, this servant, suffering servant. In this, it's not suffering servant, but it's very, those of you who are more keen, see, in the baptism of Jesus, what was the voice that came out of heaven? You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. See, that was actually a bringing up of the two scriptures. Psalm 2 verse 8, it's actually talking about God has his own son as the king, anointed king in Jerusalem. And in Isaiah 42, it talks about his Messiah, his anointed king, is actually a servant of God. And you will find suffering servant. Jews to this day are confused about these two identity. There is a king and there is a suffering king. Still today, they cannot figure out how could this be mighty king suffering for us. In Jesus, all of these things have become fulfilled. So Jesus opens up this place and he declares, or he reads, those days they stood up to read. And then Jesus sat down to preach. So we are doing the opposite. You know, when I was reading this bit in the long while ago, okay, Jesus read it and then sat down and went back to his seat to sit down. And everybody was looking at him like, why are you sitting down? That's not the case. Jesus sat down to teach from it. But this is the scripture that Jesus read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, the recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And if you study the list of the people there, five descriptions of the list of the people, these are people in pain. People rejected, people suffering on the inside or physically or with broken heart or feel trapped, locked up, prisoners of war, so to speak, in life. You feel you're trapped in life. There is no freedom internally, externally. And Jesus' first priority of his ministry to those who are suffering. And how did he do it? He was being anointed. In the Old Testament, kings were anointed to be king. Jesus was not just anointed with oil, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit power. So that was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. After reading that passage, Jesus sat down and he said this, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That is a very short sermon, but very bold, authoritative declaration saying that you have heard this prophecy. And all Jews believe that one day God will send an anointed king. But Jesus is saying that this is fulfilled here at your hearing. As he was reading, you have seen the anointed king. Very bold. He sat down and people say they bore witness to what Jesus said and the gracious words Jesus said, because the fame of Jesus has already spread out in all of the northern part of Israel. They know and they have seen some of them. Many have heard the things that were being done. People were healed, demons were cast out, people were freed, and they heard the good news. Their hearts were healed. Broken hearts were healed when they came to Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I want to declare this morning, Jesus is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Whatever it is, the heartbrokenness that you have, whatever trap you feel you are under, if you feel you, all your life you've been living under disfavor, rejection, hopelessness, broken heart, sickness, poverty, Jesus is the anointed one to set us free today. Amen? So they were saying they couldn't deny the claims of Jesus. They were blessed with gracious words of Jesus. But what was their overall general response to the words of Jesus? He said, "Is this not Joseph's son? I've seen him growing up from little boy working in the woods, you know, this carpentry. And in fact, I bought chair the other day, last year from him. It's a good chair. He didn't rip me off, but I saw no miracle. What is going on?" And they said, basically, "You prove it. You prove it. Do it today. Do a miracle. Entertain us. Prove to us. Then I'll believe you." That's basically what they've said. And, you know, how come? How come their response of Jesus is so poor? How many heard the word, familiarity breeds contempt? How true that is. Familiarity breeds contempt. See, Mark, Gospel of Mark actually records, Jesus could not do mighty miracles that he did elsewhere because of their unbelief. In fact, he says their unbelief was so great that Jesus actually marveled. Wow, Jesus is going, look at this unbelief, this bunch of people refusing to believe. Because he did great mighty miracles everywhere, but his own people are saying, hey, they cross their arms and say, if you can do it right here, then I will believe. You know that unbelief grieves the Holy Spirit. Unbelief restricts the move of the Holy Spirit. So we gotta. It's so important that you and I stay in faith. Faith moves mountains. Faith invites the kingdom of God, invisible kingdom of God, to move mightily in your life. Amen? Amen. So how did Jesus respond to them? Jesus, being the prophet, he had perfect words of knowledge. Jesus could tell them to their face what they were thinking right at that point. And you know, most of the words of knowledge that, you know, in the past that I've had brought great blessing to people. But in this case, Jesus' words of knowledge brought great wrath from the people, great rejection. And this had been the pattern of Jesus' ministry, because Jesus will not dance to the tune of people's want. Jesus' priority was to do the will of God, not to entertain people, not to prove to people. What did Satan say to Jesus? Third temptation, throw yourself down. And then they will clap and say, whoa, we believe you. And Jesus says, no, you get behind me, get away. People are saying, please entertain me. Herod also said, please do some miracles. I want to see. Jesus said, I have no miracle for you. So this was Jesus. Jesus quoted what they were saying, physician, heal yourself. You see, it's interesting. So whatever we've heard that you've done in Capernaum, do it also in your hometown, in the midst of your relatives, people, friends, you know, colleagues that you went to school with. Do it in front of us, and we will believe. He's saying, doctor, do it here in front of us, and we will believe you. So Jesus never danced to the tune. In fact, he gives a lesson talking about two famous prophets, Elijah and Elisha. Both prophets are from the northern side of Israel, so they are very, very familiar with them. In fact, two of the most powerful prophets that God raised up in miracle workings and signs and wonders. Two prophets, famous, renowned for the signs and wonders. And he said this, Elijah, there was a 3.5 years of famine and the drought. But Elijah was not sent to all the Israel to help you, but he was sent to Syrophoenicia, you know, Zarephath, to the one little poor widow. That's all. And then, in the days of Elisha, there were many lepers. But Elisha was only sent to one man, Naaman, Syrian. Both of them are not Jews, not Israelis, not from northern, the home country town, but they are Gentiles, and they are the enemies of Israel. And God said, see, God's power is not limited, but God's prophets are sent to specific people. And both of them are not hometown people. In other words, no miracles for you today. Which is a slap in the face, which they understood it to be. So from here, they turn. They reject Jesus so much so that, isn't it incredible, the hardness of people's heart? Just 3 minutes ago, they were going, oh, he's so gracious. We're going to see some miracles. Jesus says, no. They rise up. Take Jesus to push him off the cliff, either to kill him or maim him. This is the heart of the people. Heart of the people offended at Jesus. How blessed are you if we are not offended at Jesus? Amen. So what did Jesus do? Jesus passed right through them and went on his way. It's incredible how. I'm just, wondering how. They're there as a group to push Jesus off the cliff, to kill him, throw him down. Throw him down. And somehow Jesus walked right through. I was wondering, Lord, did Jesus become invisible? How did he manage to do that? Or was it the look of authority that he had that they were afraid to actually do it? I don't know. Maybe you can find out in discussion and tell me. But now Jesus moves out of the hometown. As far as we know, Jesus has never returned to Nazareth. Do not reject Jesus. Do not reject the grace of God. Amen. So, Jesus starts his ministry now in the rest of the Galilee. And he starts off in Capernaum. There's a picture there. Capernaum. This is the Capernaum, the small one. Today, it's now an archaeological site. Those who have you been to Capernaum, Valerie, in this trip? You went there? No, you didn't go. Ooh, okay. Anyway, this is one of the fishing towns at the very on the spot, on the shore of Galilee. And you can see the ruins. You can look at, you know, the typical houses there. And you can see the synagogue, actually, ruins of the synagogue is still there today. So you can have a look at it. The name Capernaum is the city, Capernaum. Does it ring the bell? Prophet Nahum. So that's where he's from. Okay, so it's a fishing village. And now Jesus starting his ministry and the reception there is completely different. People coming to the flock and then everywhere Jesus went, especially in Capernaum now, there's a great outbreak of the miracles and signs and wonders. See, Jesus came, Jesus said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we see the casting out of demons, the synagogues, a religious center. Unclean spirits are there and they get exposed. Jesus did not chase demons. It's very important. Number one, Jesus didn't chase demons, but because of Jesus' presence, the power of the Holy Spirit and authority that was on him that actually exposed the hidden demons inside of people. And the demon, the very first demon that cast out was actually inside the house of God. Isn't that interesting? I'm kind of almost tempted for you to talk to each other. Do you have a demon? No. Okay. No. All right. So they get exposed. And the demons had a knowledge that people didn't have. They knew who Jesus was, the Son of God, the Holy One of God. But Jesus shut them up. So number two, you don't chase demons. You don't follow demons around. And then number two, you don't ask revelations from demons. Demon, please tell me, what is the beginning of the universe? They will give you lies. And they will, even it may be true, you don't want your source of spiritual revelation from demons. If you had seen any witchcraft, Dungeons and Dragons, horoscopes and stuff, immediately you have to repent. If you've been dabbling in it for a while, you probably have a demon. So it needs to be cast out because they're unclean spirit. Unclean spirit make you unclean on the inside. So Jesus shut him up. They had understanding. See, disciples, it took another 3.5 years to understand who Jesus is. But Jesus didn't want them to get to revelation through demons. He wanted them to know who Jesus is through the Father, through the Holy Spirit alone. So Christians, absolutely important, friends, you and I, we need to make up our mind, Holy Spirit will be our only source for revelation. Amen. 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 Holy Spirit, nothing else. If you have come into any, opened any door to any other spirit, including horoscope, you're trying to get supernatural knowledge of the future from demons, and you're opening the door and you're rolling out a red carpet and saying, please come in. You got to shut those doors. And then after that, see, Jesus said, be quiet, literally means get muzzled. The, you know, muzzling and the horse's bridle and things like that. He said, don't say a thing. And they came out. And then after that, Jesus went to heal Peter's mother-in-law, which is very good for the family, for the relationship between Peter and his wife. Anyway, that's just the tongue-in-the-cheek thing. And then immediately she rose to serve. The healing led to service immediately. And notice how Jesus speaks to sickness directly. This is how you pray for the sick. He rebuked fever, high fever. This is a medical term, Luke being a doctor. He rebuked high fever as if he's commanding demons. Not all sickness is through demons, but you can speak to sickness, speak to our body. So what happened? Now, after that, now the sun went down. This is Sabbath. What happened? As the sun is going down, people didn't waste any time. They're bringing all the sick around the town and they are crowding Jesus. Must be like that. Sun is setting. And you see trouble brewing. How many see trouble brewing? If you've got Jewish mind, you've got Hebraic understanding of the Old Testament. Do you see trouble brewing here? Jesus healing the sick on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, you're not supposed to do any work according to Old Testament law. Jesus will reinterpret that with the spirit of the law later on. But when does the Sabbath start? As the sun set, that's the Sabbath begin. And the sun rise and set again, that's finished. But see, before, only the healthy one, you could only, you know, walk so far, not too much, to come to Jesus and get healed. I don't know how, the rumor spreads quicker than you can walk, right? These are very well-oiled grapevines in the ancient Israel. Move fast, like if they had internet line, like, you know, everybody's texting each other, and they can find out even before the day is out, everybody's out there coming to Jesus as the sun is going down. Is this breaking the Sabbath or not? Huh? It's very close. See, they're carrying the sick. This is work. As the sun is going down, they're bringing everybody. And Jesus ministered to them one by laying hands on them. Demons were casting out. Jesus healed them. And all that. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. After that day, see, you will see the trouble coming up because this is one of the five times when Jesus heals on the Sabbath day, and then there will be four more attempts to kill Jesus. Hallelujah. Not hallelujah, but that's the truth. All right, what does Jesus do? I'm going to close with this, and then we can discuss. The next day, following day, Jesus is gone. Jesus has ministered to them until very late. All right, the word is spreading. People are being healed left, right, and center. And people want Jesus. They want to keep him there. Because the Bible says the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit was present to heal. Because Jesus is anointed with the Spirit. Which, to a measure, we all of us are. Amen. And Jesus is gone. What is he doing? He's now withdrawing himself to a deserted place. Deserts. Deserted place. Sorry, my mind has gone to the food. Deserted place to pray. So Gospel of Mark says, Jesus went to be with the Father, to talk to Father. To be with the Father, away from the people, demands of the people. And one more, Jesus went there to seek the guidance, the direction for his ministry. And what does the Father say? Father must have said, you know, he's saying, Lord, you've healed all these people through the Holy Spirit. The blind are seeing, dead are raised, you know, the crippled are walking, captives are being freed, demons are being cast out. There is a great joy, and everybody wants Jesus. Everybody wants to keep Jesus there. People want Jesus to keep on healing people there. Famous ministry now. And the father is saying, what about that son you're doing? Luke 18. What about 19? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, delivering people. What about proclaiming the good news of salvation, good news of the kingdom, acceptable year of the Lord? You're spending all your time healing the sick. You also need to preach the kingdom of God to other towns. You need to move. So Jesus obeys the voice. He says, for this purpose. Let's read together. He says, for this purpose. He says, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. So all the supernatural, healing, casting out demons, and ministering to the weak, sick, oppressed, diseased, comes under proclaiming the kingdom of God, which means God is the king. If we can't become the subjects of the kingdom of God, Jesus as the king, then you are aligned to all the blessings of heaven. We are so not used to kingdom because we live in, what is it? Are we republic or what is it? Democracy. That is not. Not even republic, democracy. Jesus is the king. Allow Jesus to rule over you. Make decision to do that. And another one that I want to challenge you is coming to the end of the year. Do you find and make time and space to seek God for the direction, priority of God's calling on your life for next year? I've been seeking the Lord. I feel like my plates are full and I really need God's guidance. What is the priority for the next year? Because I want to fulfill the purpose for which we are sent. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your wonderful word. I pray, Lord, that you will give us great deal of depth of wisdom. Father, I pray, Lord, whoever is oppressed, sick, downcast, heartbroken, Holy Spirit, that you are anointing, Lord, even as we discuss and pray with one another, Lord, will move and touch. Your power and kingdom will manifest every day in our living in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit will anoint your people today with Holy Spirit and power to bring down the kingdom. Hallelujah, Father. We pray that, Lord, that Luke 4:18-19 will be fulfilled in our hearing. Amen. Lord, amen. Use us. Thank you, hallelujah. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask Josh to come to just give us instruction of what to do.
Testing. Oh, there we go. For those of you who haven't been with us for a fellowship Sunday, what we're going to do now is we're going to move into a time where we get into kind of small-ish groups throughout the room, and our heart behind this is to really create a space where we can share our lives with one another around the Word. So if there's, you know, things that have, I guess you can relate to or have impacted you, things that God has shown you kind of in relation to what we've just heard, and bring that to a place where we can share with one another our hearts, our lives. That's kind of where we want to be as a family. And as a family, we want to kind of grow that space and grow those opportunities. And if you're new here, or even if you're not, you don't have to share, but we want to encourage you to, even just a little bit, just to bring something, Because I think that when we actually share with one another, the testimony that we carry becomes healing for other people and for ourselves. So it's such an important thing when we actually share our lives with one another. So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to get the facilitators that I've spoken to already to stand up. So have a look around if you are not a facilitator. Cool. So we've got a few spread around the room. What I might get Kashani to swing around, and Iris, maybe you can move into this middle section as well. And we're going to try and do this super simply and organically. If you're around someone that's standing up, join into their group, and we'll try and divide it as evenly as possible. We're looking at about 10 people per group. Okay? And if you could spread your groups out throughout the room, that would be fantastic. And I'll wrap you up in about half an hour. Thanks, guys. Also, if you don't know each other in the group, introduce yourselves, get to know one another.